our Bible question answer time. If you get a little warm on this side, feel free to switch over. Okay, so our AC on this side is giving us grief. So this side is probably a little cooler than that side. So if you like it warm, you can stay there. If you like it cool, you can go there, okay? But hopefully we'll get that fixed this week, okay? But we had a Bible question, actually several questions related to angels. And so we're going to spend a little bit of time looking at that here this evening. And hopefully that'll be helpful. If we have extra time, we'll open up some questions from the floor. But angels. So we had several questions. I kind of boiled them down into about three. First off, what types of angels are there? And then at number two, we'll look at some angels' duties, what they do and things like that. We had a couple questions related to that. And then named angels, who are they, and things along that line, okay? Before we jump in, though, let's ask the Lord's blessing, and then we'll jump in talking about angels. And first off, we'll look at what type of angels there are. Let's pray, and then we'll jump in. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you. We thank you for your word. We thank you that we can look at it and study it. Father, we thank you that it gives answers, and it gives insight into some of these things. And Lord, I pray that as we examine this, as we look at angels, these created beings that you've made, Lord, I pray that this would give a little bit more understanding on that front and kind of break down perhaps some stereotypes that we might typically think of. And Lord, I pray that you would just help us with that. And then, Father, as we examine this, Lord, we don't want to lift up angels above you, certainly. Lord, we know and realize that that's not something we should do. But, Lord, we do want to understand what your word says about these and answer some of these questions. So strengthen us, help us in these things, we pray. And we'll thank you for what you're going to do. In the name of Jesus, we pray these things. Amen. So first off, we're going to look at what types of angels there are. Now, without looking at your handout, okay, tell somebody next to you the different types of angels that you know of, if you know of any, okay? So, tell somebody next to you, what types of angels are there? Ready? Go. Tell somebody next to you, what are some types of angels that you've heard of, types of angels you know, maybe names of angels, what have you, that's perfectly fine, okay? What do we have? Any ideas at all? Types of angels?
Gabriel, Michael, Lucifer.
Okay, good. So we have some names. We have Gabriel. We have Michael. Good. We have guardian angels. Good.
Messenger.
Okay, we have messenger. We have guardian. You guys are going too fast for me. We have guardian. We have cherub. We have fallen angels, right? Any others? Those are the main ones that most people would think of. I'm going to boil it down into three types of angels. These are the three types that they were created as. Okay, now obviously some of these are fallen, as we'll look at in just a second. Okay, but three types of angels. There are three different types that the Bible describes very clearly. There might be some others that some people say, oh, well, for example, the Bible talks about principalities and powers. Some people think those are angels. I don't take that as specifically that. I take that as just kind of a hierarchy of some kind in terms of how God's created them. But three different types that the Bible is very clear about. Number one is angel. The word angel, okay, is not not every type of angel is an angel. Does that make sense, sort of? Okay, so we normally think of angels as the main group and then subgroups off that. Really, technically, angel is one of the subgroups, okay? The word angel means messenger, okay? So when you're talking about an angel, normally what you're thinking is a messenger, okay? Take your Bible, turn to the book of Genesis, chapter number 18, can we? Genesis chapter number 18. And this is, obviously, there are a lot of passages we could look at. We could look at when the angels show up and appear to Mary or appear to Joseph. We could look at a lot of different passages. Angels show up all throughout the Bible. But here, Genesis 18, it's a pretty good synopsis. It's a pretty good picture of a description of them, I guess you could say. Genesis chapter number 18, and we'll begin in verse number 1. Genesis 18, 1. And the Lord appeared unto him, that's Abraham, in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. And he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself toward the ground. Said, my Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from my servant. Let a little water be fetched, and et cetera. And he basically says, hey, let me make a meal for you guys. Don't run off. Let me take care of y'all. Okay? Up to this point, who does Abraham think these people are, folks? Men. Correct? They look like people. Okay? They don't have big honking wings coming out of them. They don't look weird. They're not shining in light or anything like that. They look like people. Y'all with me so far? Yes? They look like people. Okay? Skip over if you can. Skip down to, verse number 9. And they said unto him, Abraham, the men, saying to Abraham, where is thy wife Sarah? And he said, behold, in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life, and lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door, which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old, well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. She was about 90 years old. Abraham was just about 100 years old. Okay? And verse 12, therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord, being old also. The Lord said unto Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I have a surety and bear a child, which am old? Catch it, verse 14. Is anything too hard for the what? Lord. At the time appointed, I will return unto thee. According to the time of life, Sarah shall have a son. They later on go and they describe that Sodom and Gomorrah are going to be destroyed. And this is where Abraham goes and basically deals God down on destroying Sodom and Gomorrah. Flip over to chapter number 19, verse number 1. So one of them stays talking to Abraham. The other two, they go into Sodom and Gomorrah. At chapter 19, verse 1. And there came two angels to Sodom at even. And Lot sat in the gate of Sodom. And Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them and bowed himself with his face toward the ground. Kind of like Abraham did. And he said, behold now, my lords, turn in, I pray you, into my servant's house, and tarry all night, wash your feet, and ye shall rise up early and go on your way. And he said, nay, but we will abide in the street, etc., etc. So, nice and simply, these angels, we know they're angels. Verse 1 makes it clear. Verse 8, chapter 18 makes it clear. These angels, what did they look like? What was their appearance, folks?
Humans.
They looked like humans. They looked like people. As a matter of fact, the Bible says in the book of Hebrews that you should, Hebrews chapter 13, I believe it is, that you should pay attention and be someone that's given to hospitality, because some entertained angels unaware. Some people believe it was this passage, maybe others. So nice and simply, these look like people. Most, as a matter of fact, 99% of the time, they look like men. The Bible never has a passage where an angel looks like a woman. We normally think of angels as women or little babies with little wings, okay? They don't look like that. Most of the time they look like men. Most of the time these men looked rather intimidating. These men in this passage look fairly attractive, it seems. The homosexuals in this area are actually attracted to the men and actually try to take over the house. So these are strong, strapping men. You with me so far, yes? Okay, so that's what angels are. That's their appearance. Their focus is on God's message. So they are messengers, and they go sharing God's message. You have different angels that show up. Some of the named ones that we'll mention in just a little bit. We know that Gabriel was one of these type of angels. So Gabriel was one that would go and he would show up and he would appear like a person with Mary and with Joseph, things along that line. So these are angels. They're not people, but they might look like people to us. You know what these are, yes? Okay, those are angels. That was probably not too surprising. The next ones get a little bit stranger. Okay, number two, cherubim. Take your Bible, flip over to the book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter number one. Ezekiel chapter number one. And Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel. And Ezekiel chapter number one is describing these cherubim. Chapter 10, 15 tells us that. So we're not going to look at chapter 10. It's just, you can spend a lot of time studying this, okay? We don't want to take all night doing it, okay? But chapter 1, verses 5 through 13, goes and describes these creatures called cherubim. Now, if you've heard of a cherub, cherub is the singular of cherubim, okay? If you had the I-M, or a lot of times in the Hebrew, it'll add I-M-S, okay? I-M is plural in Hebrew, okay? So when you have cherub, literally that is what the Hebrew word is, okay? The Hebrew word is cherub. Does that make sense? They just transliterated it, okay? So kind of like baptize is the same. It's a Greek word. Baptizo is the Greek word, okay? So cherub is the word. Let's look at it. Ezekiel chapter number 1 and verse number 5. Also out of the midst thereof, out of this whirlwind that Ezekiel sees, out of the midst thereof came the likeness of four living creatures. And we know these are cherubim from chapter 10, verse 15. Okay? And this was their appearance. They had the likeness of a man. Everyone had four faces. By the way, the likeness of a man probably just means standing upright like a person would be. Okay? Because as you'll see in a second, they don't look like men. Okay? Verse number 6. And everyone had four faces, and everyone had four wings, and their feet were straight feet, and the sole of their feet was like the sole of a calf's foot, okay? So their feet don't come to like this kind of foot. They go straight down like a calf, you know, like a cow, okay? And they sparkled like the color of burnished brass. And they had the hands of a man under their wings on their four sides, and they had their faces and their wings. Their wings were joined one to another. They turned not when they went. They went every one straight forward. As for the likeness of their faces, they four had the face of a man, face of a lion on the right side, and the face of an ox on the left side, and they four had the face of an eagle. So they have four faces on them. Okay, you picturing this kind of? I'll give a picture of some artist's idea. Okay, one face is the face of a person. Another is the face of an ox. Another is the face of an eagle. Another is the face of a lion. Okay, let's continue. Verse 11. Thus were their faces. The wings were stretched upward. Two wings of every one were joined one to another, and two covered their bodies. And they went, every one straight forward, whither the spirit was to go. They went as they turned not when they went. As for the likeness of the living creatures, their appearance was like burning coals of fire and like the appearance of lamps. It went up and down among the living creatures. The fire was bright, and out of the fire went forth lightning. And the living creatures ran and returned as the appearance of a flash of lightning. Chapter 10, we're not going to look there. Chapter 10 also says that they're covered with eyes everywhere, okay? So these are very strange creatures. Let's describe them real quick. Appearance. Let's break it down a little bit. Appearance. They had a four-sided face, one side man, one side lion, one side eagle, one side ox. They had four wings. Two they fly with, two they cover themselves, okay? They look like fire and lightning. The Bible describes them several times as burnished brass, so like a reddish tint to them, okay? Kind of like fire and lightning. And they are covered in eyes, okay? So these are not what you think of when you think of angels, correct? Okay, when you're picturing an angel, when you're sending the little Christmas card and you see the angels flying around, you're not picturing these things, okay? So there are several cherubs that you know. For example, Satan was a cherub. Okay, so Satan was one of the cherubs. We'll look at that in just a second. So Satan was a cherub. Their focus is focused on God's presence. For example, when Adam and Eve sin and they are cast out of the garden, God sets two cherubs with flaming swords to protect the entrance of the garden so that people can't get in and eat from the tree of life. Okay, later on, they had deals with God's presence again when they made the Ark of the Covenant. When they made the Ark, you had to come and you had to worship, and two cherubs overshadowed the Ark, okay? Throughout, there are cherubs that show up in the temple that's built by Solomon. There are cherubs that show up all throughout those different passages. The main focus when a cherub shows up is focus on God's presence. They're there to kind of protect God's presence. They're there to kind of keep sinners out, I guess you could say. Y'all with me so far, yes? Getting kind of glazed looks, yes? Okay, good. So that is a cherub or cherubim, okay? Number three, seraphim. Take your Bible, flip over to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter number 6, if we can. Isaiah chapter number 6. This is the third and final clear illustration of angels in the Bible. And these are slightly different than cherubim. Now, let me just say real quick, the name cherub, we don't really know what exactly that word means. There's no real Hebrew word that really stands out. There are a few words that are kind of close. Some people believe it might mean mighty or something like that, maybe like a guard, a protector, or something along that line. It's kind of hard to tell. Seraphim, we do know, on the other hand. Seraphim literally is from the Hebrew word seraph, which means to burn, okay? So it's the flaming ones is normally what that word means. Look at it. Isaiah chapter number 6, if we can. And verse number 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train, or that part of his gown, of his clothes, filled the temple. Above it, above the throne, okay, so you have this giant throne filling the whole temple. Above it stood the seraphim. Each one had six wings. With twain, or two, he covered his face. With twain, or two, he covered his feet. And with twain, he did fly. Obviously different than the cherub, which had four wings, correct? You all with me so far? Okay, verse number 3. And one cried unto another and said, what, folks? Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. Okay? And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. So let's break these down a little bit. The appearance, pretty straightforward here. They have six wings, two cover the face, two cover the feet, two they fly with. They're focused on God's holiness. So again, with both the cherubim and the seraphim, we don't know how many there were that God created. And in the cherubim in Ezekiel 1, we know there are at least four of them. By the way, those same four show up in Revelation as well. We know for the seraphim that there are at least a few of them because it is plural and they're speaking to each other. But could there be hundreds? Could there be dozens? Could there be two? We don't really know, okay? So, but that's about what we know. So, in answer to the question, types of angels, we have three that we know for sure, and these are the three. Next question that we had, by the way, does this kind of help answer a little bit? Yeah? Okay, if we can go to the next slide. These are some artist's ideas of a cherub, what a cherub might look like. So, they're not quite perfect, obviously. For example, the Bible says an ox, not a deer. On the one as you look on your right as you're looking. And then on the other side, for some reason, they have on one side, they have the face of like a, it looks like a person of some kind, and then another person. Obviously, that's not exactly accurate, but that kind of gives an idea slightly of what's going on. Okay, so they have four wings. They're covered in eyes all around. By the way, if you're interested in the size here on the one on the right, the Bible actually says Solomon built several cherubs in the temple, so that's really talking about the size there, okay? So roughly about 18 feet tall is how big they were in the temple, these huge cherubs that were made of gold. Okay, so those are the cherubim. Number two, we have the seraphim. This is probably what a seraphim would look like if you're going from Isaiah chapter number 6. It's a big, giant winged thing, okay? So it's covered in wings. It's basically all wings. You don't really see the body at all in this. And by the way, that's partially because of God's holiness. Even angels can't be fully exposed to it. That's also the same thing that happens with the cherubs. They cover their face as well when they're in the presence of God with their wings. Okay? So, you have that as well. Okay? You all with me so far? Yes? Okay? That's what the Bible describes. We just believe what the Bible says. All right, let's move on to number two. Angels' current duties. We had a few questions regarding this. We had a question about are angels guardian angels? So we'll deal with that in a second. We also had a question about do angels usher people to heaven? So we'll look at that as well. Okay, so let's break this down. We might need a few people to look up some verses. Okay, if you can volunteer for that, that'd be great. Okay, angels' current duties. By the way, let me be very clear. Those are current duties, okay? Obviously, angels did things before that, like sending messages and things like that. I don't believe that's happening today. We have the Bible today, okay? We don't need angels speaking to us today because we have God's Word, okay? But certainly that happened in the past. I just don't believe it's really happening today because of a lot of reasons we can't really go into. But currently, angels are doing a few things. Number one, they guard. So there is a sense where guardian angels do exist. Now, let me give a little bit of a caveat here real quick. This is not necessarily a one-for-one equivalent. Meaning, how many of you have seen It's a Wonderful Life? Seen that movie? Okay, and you remember Clarence in It's a Wonderful Life, yes? And Clarence comes down and he has his little Clarence voice, right? And that was pretty good actually. And Clarence has his little Clarence voice, and he goes to the guy. I can't think of his Jimmy Stewart. Okay, well, but he goes. I'm just doing all the impersonations apparently. But he goes to him and he says, "Hey, I'm your guardian angel, and I haven't earned my wings yet. And you know, if I do all this, that, and the other, then I'll earn your wings." That's not necessarily a biblical concept. You all with me here? There's not one angel that's sitting up in heaven watching and seeing if and when you'll mess up, okay? So we don't know that that happens at all biblically. We do know, though, that angels do guard and protect us, okay? So I'll give a few verses if some people can look these up. First off, we have Matthew 18 and verse number 10. Okay, Robbie, I saw yours first, Matthew 18, 10. Psalm 91 and verse 11 and 12. Psalm 91, verse 11 and 12. Who wants to look that one up? Somebody? Okay, Daniel, you got Psalm 91, 11 and 12. And let's see, Hebrews 1 and verse 14. John, can you get that one? Hebrews 1 and verse number 14. Good. While they're looking those up, let's look up a couple others. Luke 16, 22. Can someone do Luke 16, 22? Okay, Nathan, you got that one. And then Matthew 13, 41 and 42. Can someone do that one? Malcolm, okay, if you can get that one. Okay, so let's go through. So angels, number one, their duty is to guard. They are given to children. Matthew 18. Go ahead, Robbie.
Take heed that ye despise not one of these little ones, for I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father, which is in heaven.
Good. So this verse is talking about how the angels in heaven are there keeping an eye, keeping a watch over the Father. Nice and simply, the idea here is that the messengers, the angels for these little ones, these children, are there with Christ, and obviously he will avenge if you go against children. Okay, so that's what it's really describing there. So they are given to children. We don't know if they're given to every single children or if that's referring specifically to those that are saved, as we'll look at in just a second. I would take it to every child personally. I believe that God has a special care over kids. Okay, number two, they protect from harm. Psalm 91, verses 11 and 12. Who had that one? Psalm 91, 11 and 12.
For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways, and they shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone.
Good. Psalm 91 is the passage. If you recall, it showed up a lot with all this COVID stuff. It talks about no plague shall approach your dwelling, all those different things. It's really a protection psalm that's talking about how God will protect us. But in Psalm 91 and verse number 11, it says he'll give his angels charge over you to protect you. And so obviously that has that kind of idea to protect us from harm. Angels are there. And by the way, let me just take a caveat here and just say this. That does not mean that no problem will ever come into your life. That means that any problem that comes into your life, came because God led it in your life. Does that make sense? So you remember in this verse, it's the same verse that Satan quotes to Jesus, right? Says, oh, jump off the pinnacle of the temple and God's angels will protect you. You'll be just fine, right? And Jesus says, don't tempt the Lord thy God, right? Why? Because the reality is, yes, sometimes we get into problems because we're stupid, right? Angels don't protect from stupid, okay? Okay? And then number two, sometimes God allows problems. Look at the story of Job, right? God allows problems into our lives to grow us and to change us. Angels don't stop every problem in your life, but angels do protect you from certain things. Number three, to protect the saved. Hebrews 1 and verse number 14. Who had that one? Hebrews 1. Good. So God has ministering spirits. By the way, in Hebrews 1, it is talking about angels in the context, if you look it up. So ministering spirits sent forth to minister to those that are heirs of salvation. I don't believe that this is people that are going to be saved. I believe this is people that are saved that don't yet have all that salvation is. Does that make sense? Right now, I have salvation. I am saved, but I don't have my full inheritance in heaven. Y'all with me here? Well, at some point, I will have that, and I believe that Christ will protect me in a special way because I'm his child, and he'll send his angels as ministering spirits for us. Okay? So, to guard. Does that make sense so far? Yes? Okay? So, we do, in a sense, have guardian angels, not a one-for-one guardian angel. You don't have one specific angel up in heaven. And by the way, let me just take a step further. You should not necessarily pray to your guardian angel. I've heard things like that. That is not a biblical concept in the slightest. You pray to God, okay? So you don't pray to your guardian angel. You don't worship your guardian angel. You don't worship angels in general. The Bible is very clear on that. Colossians says that. But God does send guardian angels for us. Number two, to gather. Luke 16, 22, who had this? Okay, Nathan, go ahead.
It came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man died also.
Good. So the Bible does describe that when a child of God does pass away, then they are carried by the angels into heaven. So that is a biblical concept, okay? So God does gather the saved into heaven through angels. He does gather souls into heaven through that, okay? That's really the only passage that actually says that, but God does gather souls into heaven. Specifically those that are safe. Number two here, under that, is to judgment. Matthew chapter 13, 41 and 42. Malcolm, did you have that one? Go ahead.
The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all the things that offend and them that do iniquity, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth.
Good. This is talking about the end times, and during the end times, God will gather together all that are in iniquity, and will cast them into the fire. Matthew chapter number 13, 41 and 42. By the way, this is also, this is a good verse. We were talking about this the other day in the question and answer, and specifically gather the eagles together, if you recall that passage. This is a good cross-reference on that one that I failed to mention the other day. Okay? So, angels' current duties, to guard and to gather. Those are good summaries of that. Obviously, they're doing more than that. Obviously, they're worshiping the Lord. We know that. Obviously, they're doing a lot of different things like that. And they're doing whatever God wants them to do. But these are two very clear ones from the Bible. Number three question I had is named angels. Are there named angels? Who are they? And what do they do? So we'll go through these briefly as well. The Bible has, I came up with four named angels. There might be more. It's kind of tough sometimes to tell if it's really a name or what have you. And so we'll look at that in just a second. But I came up with four named angels. First off, we have Gabriel. If we can go to the next slide, Brian. We have Gabriel. The name Gabriel means man of God is what it means. Gabriel is a messenger. Every time you see Gabriel, he's giving some kind of message. He shows up to Daniel in Daniel chapter 8, verse 16, chapter 9, verse 21. He's the angel that comes to Zacharias, specifically named that comes to Zacharias in the temple. And he specifically tells him, I am Gabriel that stands before the Lord continually. He comes to Mary when he tells Mary that she's going to give birth to Jesus. We don't know which angel came to Joseph, but most people believe it was Gabriel, but it's hard to tell. We don't know, so I didn't include him in the list, okay? But those are the times that Gabriel specifically shows up. So he's a messenger angel, and he shows up always giving messages. Gabriel would probably be what you would think of as a traditional angel. Does that make sense? When Gabriel showed up to David, he recognized him. He viewed him as a person until he clarified himself. Same with Zechariah. Zechariah was surprised that someone was in the temple. So he would probably be a traditional angel. Okay? If we can go to the next one. Okay? Next one. Michael, the archangel. Okay? Michael, the archangel. There's only one archangel, and that is Michael. His name means who is like God. Okay? So that's what the name means. And Michael is an archangel. Now, people have speculated over what he is in terms of the three characteristics, three categories we've looked at before. So it's hard to really say which one. If you had to venture a guess, perhaps, a lot of people believe maybe Michael is a cherub, because cherubs tend to be more militant, I guess you can say. Most of the time they're focused on military, and as we'll see in just a second, Michael tends to be focused on that. Okay, Michael tends to focus and fight demonic forces. If we can, let's look up a few of these verses again. Jude, pick any chapter you want. Number 9, okay? Jude 9. Who wants to look that one up? Okay, John, you got that one? Jude 9. Revelation 12 and verse 7. Okay, Robbie, you got Revelation 12, 7. Daniel 10 and verse number 3. Anybody want to do Daniel 10, 3? Okay, go ahead for that one, Kevin. And Daniel 12 and verse 1. Who wants to get that one? Okay, Nathan, I saw your hand first. Daniel 12 and verse number 1. Okay, Jude 9. When you're ready, Robbie. Oh, yeah, you don't. Okay. Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, sorry. Go ahead, John. I'm sorry about that.
Yeah, Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against them a railing accusation, but said the Lord rebuked him.
Good. So we have here Michael the archangel disputing about the body of Moses. You say, what on earth is that talking about? We have no idea. Okay? So we don't know what that is. We don't know what Jude's referring to here. The devil wanted to go and use the body of Moses as something that people would worship or something like that. Perhaps the devil was trying to find the body of Moses. Of course, Moses was buried up on Mount Pisgah, but no one knows where he was buried. We don't really know what that is. Some people have speculated, Moses will be one of the witnesses that come back, and that's why his body was significant. I have no idea, but what I do know is that Michael went and fought against the devil, but he didn't bring a railing accusation. He brought up God in it. So he doesn't fight through himself. He fights through God. And that's the point Jude's saying. When you're fighting against sin, fight with God's power, not with your own. Okay, that's the point of what Jude's saying. Revelation 12 and verse 7. I think you had that one, Robbie. Good.
And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. And the dragon fought and his angels.
Good. So the dragon is referencing, again, Satan in the context of it. And the Bible says that there is war in heaven. So, again, a lot of the details of some of this, we don't really know all the details. Most people believe when it's talking about this, it's a future event, specifically when Satan is fully cast out of heaven and he comes to the earth. Because if you recall, Satan does have to stand before God occasionally and give a report. Okay, if you look at the book of Job, you find that, right? That all the angels had to come before the Lord and give a report, and God asked them about Job. So, quite possibly, this is God going and saying, okay, you're done, you can't do this anymore, and then Satan fully is basically let loose on this earth. Okay, that's where I would tend. Daniel chapter number 10, verse 13. Who had that one? Okay, Kevin. Good. This is one of the angels, an unnamed angel. We don't know which angel comes to Daniel, But Daniel's been praying for a specific request for quite some time, hasn't gotten the answer, and is wondering why he hasn't gotten the answer. And then finally an angel comes and says, hey, I was wanting to give you the answer, but demonic forces, the prince of Persia, okay, not the video game, and certainly not the the literal king, okay, this is a demonic force. He withstood me, and Michael came and fought against him, okay? So, by the way, let me just take a time out on that. Sometimes when you're praying for something and you don't get an answer, you don't know what's happening that you don't see, okay? So, so there you go. And Daniel chapter number 12 and verse number 1. Who had that one? Nathan, go ahead.
At that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people, and there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book.
Good. By the way, this is, if you ever hear somebody say, oh, well, the rapture is not referenced in the Old Testament, Daniel 12:1 is about as clear as you get. You have the voice of the archangel, that's Michael, right? Right? 1 Thessalonians 4. You have the voice of the archangel, you have the trump of God, you have the dead in Christ rising, they'll be delivered. You have all of that in Daniel 12, 1 and 2. So, nice and simply, the voice of the archangel, that is Michael. At the end times, when God is calling us, the saved up, the voice we're going to hear is Michael's voice, the voice of the archangel. Okay, so you have Gabriel, the messenger, you have two, Michael, the archangel, number three. You have Lucifer, the devil. The name Lucifer means morning star, okay? So that's what the name itself means. So he was, and we don't have time to look through all of these, but let's real quick summarize. He was a cherub that seemed to be focused on musical worship. The Bible describes that in the book of, I have Exodus, it should be Ezekiel, that should be a Z there. Ezekiel 28, verses 13 through 14, the Bible talks about his vials, that's violins, not vials like a vial like that. It talks about different things like that, so he seemed to be involved in worshiping God. The Bible does describe Satan as the anointed cherub, so quite possibly the highest cherub in all of heaven. He fell due to his pride, Isaiah 14. Lucifer says, seven things that he will. I will ascend into heaven. I will make my throne of the Most High, etc., etc. And because of that pride, God casts him down and eventually all the way into hell. So we have Lucifer, Lucifer, the devil. Okay, and so I mentioned to the person that asked this question, some people believe that Lucifer took one third. Well, the Bible is clear that Satan took one third of all the angels with him when he fell. So some people believe that you have three categories. You have angels, you have cherubs, you have seraphim, and he took basically all of the cherubs. We don't know that. That's just a speculation, okay? So we are not totally sure, okay, on that front. Okay, number four, named angel, if we can, Revelation chapter number 9. Let's flip over there, can we? Revelation 9, real quick, and we're just about done. Revelation chapter number 9. And the fourth named angel is Abaddon or Apollyon, okay? Revelation chapter number 9 and verse number 11. Now, some people take this to be Satan. I do not believe it's Satan. And I'll show you why in just a second. Revelation 9 and verse 11. And they, by the way, these are all these demonic forces that are released from the bottomless pit. And they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name is, in the Hebrew tongue, is Abaddon, but in the Greek tongue has his name Apollyon. Both Abaddon and Apollyon, both names mean destroyer. Okay, that's what the names mean. So he is the destroyer, okay? So he is the leader of the forces, seemingly demonic forces, in the bottomless pit. And these things are really weird looking. By the way, technically this would be a fourth category because they don't fit any of the others, if you want to think of that. But these are probably demonic, so I didn't include them in the other four. Let's look at them real quick. Let's go back to verse number 3 of chapter 9. There came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, but as we know, they're not locusts, and unto them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. And to them it was given that they should not kill, but that they should be tormented 5 months. And their torment was as the torment of a scorpion when he strikes the man. In those days shall men seek death, shall not find it. He shall deliver to die, and death shall flee from them. The shape of the locusts were like unto horses prepared unto battle. And on their heads were, as it were, crowns like gold, and the faces were as the faces of men. They had hair as the hair of women, and the teeth were as the teeth of lions. And they had breastplates, and as it were, breastplates of iron, and the sound of their wings was as the sound of chariots of many horses running to battle. And they had tails like unto scorpions, and there were stings in their tails, and their power was to hurt men 5 months, and they had king over them, etc. So, that's a summary of what the Bible says about angels. It's getting a bit warm. Does anyone have any Bible questions related to angels at all? Any questions on that topic? Or did I just explain it completely perfectly? I know I didn't explain it completely perfectly. There's a lot more you could say about angels, and I understand that. Yes?
Well, I just have a question.
Sure. Yes.
Is there other references to that, or was that a one-time thing that we know about?
Oh, that's a good question. Was it just a one-time thing, or does that happen regularly? That one I'm not sure of. I believe that's the only time that was coming to mind when I was looking through it.
So do you, just your personal opinion, do you think that's like a regular thing, or?
I believe it is a regular thing, personally. I believe it is. For one, I don't take that passage to be a parable, for one, because Jesus specifically references a name that is Lazarus. So I don't take that to be a parable, so I wouldn't take that as just a general, figurative thing. Number two is I don't see a main reason why God would only select one person or why God would pick certain people to usher in while other people he doesn't. I just personally, I don't see God doing that, having favoritism in how he gets the soul to heaven. So I would take that as a regular thing, mainly because I don't see a reason why not to take it as a regular thing. But unless I'm missing a passage and I'm just forgetting, that's the only passage I know of that refers to that, though. So I will be clear on that. That's the only passage I know of that talks about angels taking a soul into heaven once they pass. So that's the only passage I know of on that one. But I think it fitting, I think it appropriate that something like that would happen. So I don't know if that answers the question. Unfortunately, that's the only passage that I can think of, unless someone thinks of one and lets me know. But that's the only passage I can think of that actually refers to that. So kind of, I guess it's kind of up for interpretation. That's just why I generally believe that it happens for everybody. Because I don't see why God would only do it for Lazarus why God would only do it for certain people. So, the Bible never talks about, for example, just to elaborate a little bit, the Bible never talks about that being a reward, right? The Bible never refers to that at all. So I take that as a general for everybody, right? And then there are certainly certain rewards based on how we live and things like that, but I don't know that would be one.
Those angels are busy then.
They're busy, yeah. By the way, we don't know how many angels there are, but there are probably a lot of them, okay? The Bible does, Jesus, he says, don't you know that I could gather more than 12 legions of angels? Do you know how many a legion is? This is totally off topic. Any idea how many a legion counted?
100,000. That's a guess.
Yeah. There were, according to Roman documentation, it depends on the time frame, but generally in Jesus' day, a Roman legion would be 70,000 frontline troops and then an additional 70,000 reserve. Okay? So you're talking 140,000. And he tells Peter, don't you know I could call more than 12 legions of angels? So, that's not counting demons, obviously. So, if you go and you do the math, which I am not going to do in my head because, you know, 12 times 140,000. So, you're talking 1,680,000. So, a minimum of 1,680,000. Okay? So, that's a minimum of how many angels there are. So, when, for example, you could have... you've heard the song, he could have called 10,000 angels. 10,000 is a very low number, okay? So he could have called a lot more than that, okay? So so yes, they are busy, but again, you consider that they're not bound by things like we are, and there's a lot when you talk about angels that we just can't get into. For example, they don't have physical bodies like us. When it gives a description, they're... If an angel was here, you wouldn't see it unless God wanted you to see it. Does that make sense? So now people ask sometimes when you talk about angels, oh, well, you know, when I was younger, there was a car accident and, you know, a person randomly came and helped. Was that an angel? I don't know. That's part of the point, right? Hebrews says that, you know, be hospitable because some have entertained angels unaware. You don't know. So you don't know. So I don't go and say, oh, well, no, that definitely was an angel. No, that's actually the point that the writer of Hebrews makes. You don't know. But I will say, we're not looking under every rock for angels. We're looking to God. Does that make sense? So we don't want to worship angels. We don't want to be all about angels. We don't want to, you know, get our focus on angels. Angels are servants of God just like we're servants of God, right? The Bible says in the book of Hebrews, and again, there's a lot you can say here. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews how one day we will judge angels. Right now, we're a little lower than angels, but one day we will judge angels. Why does God do that? Why does God make us judges of angels? I have no idea, but one day you and I, literally, will stand judging the demons that went against the Lord. So there's a lot here that you can go into that's like, okay, what does this mean? I don't know all of it, but this is kind of a glimpse into the spiritual world that we don't see, that we know is there, we feel, we live in the spirit, but we don't see on a regular basis. That's what this is, okay? So, but good question, Corlin. Any other follow-up questions specifically about angels? Yes, Nancy. Yes, good. So when the Bible talks about in Luke 2, there was a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying glory to God in the highest. That would be a multitude of angels, probably messenger angels, that were all singing praise to the Lord. So yes, that would be very much the same kind of idea. Now, those ones, we don't have any named ones in that passage, so we don't know if Gabriel was the leader of them. We don't really know. Okay, maybe he was. It seems like the Bible is clear that there does seem to be some kind of hierarchy, right? That Gabriel is kind of the leader, almost, it seems, of the messenger angels. It seems like Michael is the leader of, I guess you could call, the warrior angels, right? And Lucifer was kind of the leader of what seems like the worship angels that, of course, fell. So, but we don't really know all the details there. But yes, so that would certainly be a multitude of the angels, basically, coming out of heaven and doing that. The Bible does describe how, like in Revelation, how there will be war in heaven and the angels will be fighting against the demonic forces. There's a lot of things about that that the Bible does describe that we just don't have a clear grasp of because there's just not a lot of detail there. But yes, good. Yeah, Robbie. Right.
Why then, instead of just saying, was taken
ahead? Okay. We've gone into that before, but let me real quick answer. Okay. There's a few possibilities. Possibility one is that he's taken, and Abraham's bosom is not a physical place, but he's taken and put in Abraham's lap, bosom, chest. He takes him and he rests him on Abraham. Possibility one. Possibility two, and what I tend toward, is that this is a description of what the Bible refers to as paradise. The Bible gives a differentiation between paradise before Jesus was crucified, the debt was fully paid, and heaven after Jesus was crucified. The main reason for that, in summary, and this is just trying to piece together things, okay? The main reason for that, in summary, is until the debt was fully paid, then we couldn't be fully in the presence of God. Does that make sense? So in the Old Testament, you're really talking Old Testament stuff. It wouldn't apply to today. But in the Old Testament, or even the New Testament before Christ was crucified, sin was not fully paid for. It was covered. Okay, it was temporarily cleansed, but it wasn't fully removed. When Jesus gave the full sacrifice that they had looked forward to in real time, that at that point, sin was completely removed. There are a few passages that allude to that kind of idea. Obviously, it doesn't apply anymore, because today, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. We know that, okay? But back in that time, it seems that there wasn't that full access to God, because God was still holy and sin still had not been, in real time, completely absolved. So there seemed to be a holding until that point came. That's a summary of a complex issue, okay? But that's what I would say. In summary, that's really, people have asked questions about that before. That is a theological query, I think, maybe, theoretically, it doesn't impact, right? Those that receive Christ before, and by the way, we receive Christ the same way today as we did back then, just we look back, they looked forward, right? And the people in Christ, they look too. Okay? Either way, you're looking to Christ and what he's doing. Right? So, you know, Adam and Eve looked forward to the Messiah that would one day come, that would crush the head of Satan. And today we look back to Jesus, who we know was the Messiah that did crush the head of Satan. So it doesn't make a big difference in terms of where they went. They did go to heaven. It doesn't make a big difference in any of it. It's just a theory in terms of why is it called that? Why does Jesus call it paradise instead of heaven? For example, to the thief on the cross. Today we will be with me in paradise. Why not heaven? Right? That's why sometimes we think that. But who knows? Okay? Good question, though. Good. Any other follow-up questions real quick about angels? No? I know you guys are warm. You can't go. That's perfectly fine. If you have any more questions, please ask them. I have two more questions that I need to deal with. So if you have any more questions, please make sure you write those down. Like I said, we'll do this series until you don't have questions, okay? Let's close in prayer, and then we'll let you guys go. Dear Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for your love and grace. We thank you for your description and these details about angels, these beings that you've made. And Lord, yet despite all of this, and Lord, I wish I had gotten into this, but despite all of this, Lord, you didn't come to save angels. You came to save us. And Lord, we thank you for that. We thank you for your love for us. Lord, we don't understand it. We can't grasp it. We can't figure it out. But Lord, we thank you and we praise you for your love for us. Love that even angels look into diligently and they can't understand. Lord, we thank you for that love. Lord, I pray that we'll leave this place, Lord, rejoicing in your love. Lord, help us to realize that we have the same privilege, we have the same responsibility as the angels do to serve you faithfully. And Lord, help us to do that this next week. Lord, thank you just in passing, Lord, for these ones that came, even though the air conditioning's kind of rough, and Lord, came and focused on your word, and Lord, worshiped and studied. Lord, we thank you for that. Lord, bless them in a special way because of that. Dismiss us with your blessing. Give us safety as we go. And Lord, we love you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.